I'm concluding the series that I began called The New Way of the Spirit, because in this teaching, The New Way of the Spirit, I wanted to give to you what the Bible teaches about this, how it functions. Because to me, and I think, and I hope to God, from what I can glean from the Scriptures, it's no use at all to know something here, but not to have it transform you. In other words, to know something academically is just that. But to have information that changes your life, that makes your existence better, that lets you to see that there is a God and this God can act in your life, and that you can see fruit come forth out of your life, and that this isn't just for the preacher or the evangelist. This isn't just for the so-called holy people. It's for all of his people. It's for all of the priesthood of all of the people of God to experience his presence, his power, his love, his peace, his fruit, his transformation. Because if I just come up here and preach, because this is the gift that God gave me, the gift of preaching, I'm expressing the gift that he gave me, but if it's not useful for you for transformation, then I'm only satisfying my own self. I'm really concerned for you. I want you, and I think God wants you to have a life full of fruit. One time Jesus came upon a fig tree when he was with the disciples, and the fig had no fruit on it. And he says, "May you never bear fruit again." And he walked off, and when they came back in the evening, it had withered up and died. And the disciples go, "Wow." And he goes, "He's expecting fruit. He's expecting to see something coming from us." And you need to have that desire in you, so that when God looks at you in your life, he sees that, look, I put my spirit in this person. I put my word in this person. I give my son for this person. And look what's coming out of this person. A transformation is happening. They're changing their family's history. They're changing their home life. They're changing their personal life. This is what we need to really begin to see happen. By dying to what once bound us, says the Apostle Paul, we Christians have been released. Only Christians. We're released from the law so that we Christians, serve in the new way of the Spirit, not in the old way of the written code. So God has accomplished the transformation from the code of the law of Moses, which cannot save, which can only give external thou shalt nots, to the new covenant, which is an internal transformation. And this new covenant works. I'm here to tell you it works. I've been really not experimenting, but trying to implement this in my life. And I'm seeing that it works. And I want to encourage you, because if you really do what the Bible asks you to do, and if you allow the Holy Spirit to live the way he wants to live through you, you're going to see some radical stuff start to happen. You're going to get control of your little temper problem. You're going to get control of your lusts. You're going to get control over discouragement and negativity and the whole world's black. And you're going to get rid of that stuff because the Holy Spirit is that way. And I'll try to show you how this works, okay? And I've been trying to show you over the past few weeks with this series. I've learned a lot from this series, and I've got a lot of really good feedback from this series. Get it. We record it. Ask Marcos for it or Dory. Get the series. Listen to it. It's really instructive, because I believe that the teaching of the Holy Spirit has been hijacked in modern Christianity. And I believe that what the Bible teaches about how this works and functions for the everyday common man and woman is what we need. This is what God wants for us. Watch. Only a regenerate soul can comprehend the new covenant. I'm preaching and teaching stuff to you that if you're not born again, it won't make any sense at all. I distinctly remember this when I wasn't a Christian, that the Bible made no sense to me, and it seemed like a book that had no bearing in my life. I really didn't want anything to do with it. So if you're not born again, what's being taught here will be senseless to you. So the first step for you, if you're not born again, and only you would know that, is to ask the Lord to come into your life and to open your deaf ears and to open your blind eyes so you can hear and see the things that God has for you. The man without the Spirit, says the Apostle Paul, does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God. That is to say, a non-believing person who is not born again, they are anti-Christ and anti-God. Christians spend a lot of their time frustrated with non-Christians because they expect that Christians should behave like Christians. Well, you're wrong. A non-Christian cannot behave like a Christian. They're not born again. Until they're born again, they're going to behave like people that don't believe in God. So don't be surprised. You might be in a family where somebody in the family, maybe a wife or a husband or maybe a son or a daughter, who are not born again. And they don't have the Spirit of God in them. And they're not going to behave this way until they have an experience with God. But you have. That's why you're at a Bible church, I hope. You've had an experience with God. So how do you take these teachings then and implement them into your life so that you can then really have impact on the people who don't know Him? So the man without the Spirit, so don't fret and fuss about people that don't know Christ, only in this sense. Evangelize them, pray for them, talk to them, encourage them, demonstrate to them that this is what it's like to be a Christian. They are foolishness to Him. He cannot understand them, he or she, because they are spiritually discerned. The teachings of the Bible make no sense at all to somebody who has not been born again. At the end of this sermon, you will see that even Jesus taught this. The way of the Spirit is in sacrificial service. Okay, what is the way of the Spirit? It is sacrificial service. Now, in Western culture, particularly in America, the emphasis has been me, me, me. Even in Christian, if you will, culture, the emphasis has been your gifts, your walk with God, your ministry. But really, the teaching of the Scripture is the exact opposite, because Jesus lived this, Jesus demonstrated this, and this is the true teaching of the Bible. You, my brothers, you Christians, you were called to be free. When you're called to Jesus Christ and when you're delivered from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light, you are free. Free from what? Free from slavery to sin and from eternal damnation. Free from the devil, the old taskmaster. You're free. But, he says, do not use your freedom. Use your freedom. What does it mean to use your freedom? If you're free and you behave with your freedom in a way that is contrary to that freedom, in other words, if you allow your freedom to become excess, that's what's happening in America now. We're a free country. We're a free nation. And many people live their lives with that freedom in a sense of total excess. And that's why we're having trouble in our country. Freedom doesn't give you the right to live just however you want with no regard to consequence. Freedom actually brings responsibility. Do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature. This is interesting, because you could, as a Christian, say, well, Christ died for my sins, I'm born again, I'm fine. If I die, I go to heaven because I trust in what He did for me. So since He died for me, I'm going to do this thing over here, whatever this thing is, might be some sinful behavior, and He'll forgive me. In other words, you take advantage of the forgiveness of Christ on the cross. That is contrary. That is contrary. And you're taking advantage of the freedom. Instead, He's saying, you need to not indulge. To indulge means, oh, I'm free, so I can just go do this because Christ will forgive me. Don't do that. Do this. Serve one another in love. The word love here is not the word that the world defines as love. It is the name of the Greek word agape. There are three words for love in Greek: agape, phileo, and eros. Erotic is sexual love. Phileo is friendship love. But agape is the love that God demonstrated through Jesus. It's a new form of love. It is an eternal form of love. It means self-sacrifice. It means laying down your life for somebody who doesn't deserve it. That's agape love. And Paul the Apostle and the Holy Spirit's telling us, you need to serve one another in agape love. That's how it works. The entire law, all that God requires, that is to say, everything that the Bible requires is summed up. This is a neat thing to know, because people wonder, what does God want me to do? He wants you to do this. Agape your neighbor as yourself. Well, who is my neighbor? Remember that question when they asked Jesus that? And Jesus implied in the teaching that followed that your neighbor is anybody. Your neighbor is even somebody that doesn't believe in God. You need to love them the way God would love them. Even if they never turn their lives to God, even if they never say, yes, I believe, you still love them that way. Why? That way they'll never have an excuse to say, nobody ever showed me. Nobody ever lived a Christian example in front of me. But if you do, if you live a Christian example in your family, in your friendships, at your work, at the end of time, when we all stand in front of God, then God will just call you as a witness. When somebody tries to say, I didn't know, they'll say, Margie, come over here. I put you to work over there in Santa Fe, and you were living a Christian life in front of them. And then they'll say, oh, yeah, I forgot about Margie. I mean, you think I'm joking about that. The Bible teaches that Jesus said that Sodom and Gomorrah will rise as a people group, and they will condemn the people that were in his time. Because Sodom and Gomorrah didn't get the kinds of signs that Jesus gave to the generation of his time. So Jesus taught that he's going to take the souls of men and women who lived way back then, he's going to resurrect them, and he's going to have them talk to that generation and tell them, hey, we didn't even get one chance. We barely got a chance at all. These angels came, and they knocked on Lot's door, and they said that God's going to destroy this place, and that's all the chance we got. You guys had the Son of God. He opened blind eyes. He unstopped deaf ears. He resurrected people from the dead. He did stuff that no one's ever done, and you won't believe in him. God can do this, and God will do this. At the end of time, nothing at all in all existence is going to go by his attention. He knows everything, and he will address everything. That's why the Bible teaches, wait until he judges things. A lot of us want to take our vengeance now. We want to get our rights being declared now. Why don't you wait for God? He knows how to do it right, and he will. The reason I'm saying that, it's a tangent, but the reason I'm saying that is because this morning I was thinking of a thing that happened in this church some years ago, and I thought to myself, I should write a letter to that person. And then right away I heard something say, why? And I go, yeah, you're right, why? Why don't I just wait? Wait until God deals with it. Because if I write a letter, you know what's going to happen. And they're going to write me one back. You know how that goes, right? That's why everybody's always upset with Trump tweeting, right? He tweets and everybody's like, wah, wah, wah. Don't tweet. Wait till the end. Or think before you tweet. How many of you feel bad whenever you sent that letter or that email? Whoops, I meant to press delete, I pressed send. Yeah. Ah! The way of the old nature is in self-interest, okay? I'm trying to draw these strings together to remind you of what we've learned over the few weeks. The way of the old nature, the way of the nature that you and I, men and women, are born with. I don't care what your status is, what your educational level is. All of us have the sin nature, and the Bible teaches this. The old nature is in self-concern, selfishness, only me. He says here in Galatians, if you keep on biting and devouring each other, watch out or you will be destroyed by each other. When you give yourself to behave the way the world behaves, it's self-destructive. You just get pulled into the same whirlpool that they're all in. Get out of it. Don't live in it. Don't use the same tactics that the world uses to argue and to get ahead, because they actually don't get ahead. Paul the Apostle said to another church in Corinth, modern-day Greece, you are still worldly, for since there is jealousy and quarreling among you, are you not worldly? Are you not acting like mere men and women? Meaning, Christians are supposed to be above that. They're supposed to be beyond that. So the way of the old nature is self-concern, self-absorbed, self, me, 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 even in Christianity. Me, 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 listen to me, watch me, look what I do, look at my gift. Instead of, what can I do for you? How can I serve you? How can I help you to go to the next level with God? That would be amazing if all Christians behaved that way. The way of the Spirit is in conflict with the ways of the flesh. The way of the Spirit is a battle. The Bible teaches this. So I say, live by the Spirit. Live by the Spirit. That is, Christianity is not meant to be an experience that you have as a religious thing on Sunday, and then you go off and live your life the way you live normally the rest of the week. Christianity is meant for you to live your life day by day, moment by moment, so that the Spirit of God is impacting everything in your life. your marriage, your family, your friendships, your work, everything, your own self-evaluation. It's impacted by the Spirit daily, moment by moment. Live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. And I guess maybe that's why the Spirit let me tell you that little story just now. Because I was really thinking of doing it the other way. And immediately it came to me, why? So it can work. You need to slow down to live by the Spirit. To slow down means to, before you act, ask. Ask Him. He's with you anyway. If you're a Christian, He's with you. So say, God, how should I act and react to this? If you slowed down a little, it would really change your life. We live in a world that demands everything now. And we think that we have to act and react now. And that might be a mistake. Yes, sometimes you do have to act or react quickly, like if you're driving along and somebody cuts you off, you have to put the brakes. That's a quick reaction, obviously. But there are many, many instances of life where you ought to slow down and think about it before you say something, before you do something. Ask God, what do you think, God? How should I behave concerning this or that? What if it's a rebellious teen? What if it's a marital difficulty? What if it's a sin in somebody else's life? What if it's something in your life? Ask Him. The whole series on the way of the Spirit was provoked in my heart when I read about Enoch in Genesis. And Enoch walked with God, and Enoch was no more. He could not be found, for God took him. And I thought, man, I would love to have that kind of walk with God. And I think God wants that for all of His people. He wants you to walk with Him. Live in the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of sinful nature. Why do so many Christians have this up and down experience like a roller coaster? It's because they go up and down with God. They get committed to God and then back to sin, and committed to God and back to sin, and get a hold of themselves and then back to the world. And that's a roller coaster ride that it gets really, really old after a while. The sinful nature desires what's contrary to the Spirit. So what we're born with is anti-Christ inside of us. It's anti-God. It's this kind of an attitude to God. But the new nature is always wanting you to yield yourself to God, to yield yourself to the Spirit, to ask Him to help you. For the sinful nature desires what's contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what's contrary to the sinful nature. They're a conflict with each other, so that you do not do what you want. So the secret to winning that conflict is surrender. It's living by. It's a conscious commitment to the Spirit, okay? The way of the Spirit is freedom from the ways of the flesh. The way of the Spirit. We serve in the new way of the Spirit. So what's the way of the Spirit? To be free from the ways of the flesh. You say, what is so hard? It's harder to stay in the flesh, I'm telling you now. I have seen and I've experienced in my personal life, and I've seen many people, friends and family members and church members, that when they live in the ways of the flesh, the consequences that come upon them are because of that. When you surrender yourself to the ways of the Spirit, the fruit that comes of that is very different. If you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now, he uses the word if, and if is a tremendous little two-letter word, because that means you have a choice to make. You do. No one can do it for you. No one can make you come to church and Bible study and fellowship and grow in the Lord. This is you. If you are led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. When you surrender yourselves to the Spirit, then you're freed from obedience to the flesh, because the law he's talking about here is the law of the flesh, the one we're born under, the law that says that I want to do what God says, but I try to do it and I find out that there's something else going on inside of me, something that's rebellious, something that's born to be wild. And it's just this weird thing. I know I should follow God. I know God's way is the right way. I know that if I listen to Him and His Bible, my marriage would be better, my friendship, my work, my self-esteem, everything would be better if I would listen to Him. But I find this other law at work, Romans 8, right? And it's the law of sin. And it says here, when you're led by the Spirit, you're free from that. You're free from that horrible schizophrenic spiritual lifestyle. And He frees you from that so that you can now walk with Him. Jesus said, here's that word if again, if you hold to my teaching, that is to say, If you listen to what I'm saying, adopt it into your life, let it guide you, then you are really my disciples. Who's a real Christian? The people that say, Jesus' teaching is my teaching. My sheep hear my voice. They follow me. Do you? Nobody at Grace Community Church is going to act like a spiritual cop for you. I'm not going to go knocking on your door and finding out if you're walking with God. I'm just not going to do it. I don't have time. God does, though. He's omniscient. He's omnipresent. He's everywhere. So he's the one that knows how to do it well. Then you will know the truth. When you listen to Jesus and you adopt his teaching into your life, you'll know truth. What's the truth? The truth that will set you free. See, it doesn't come by the U.S. Constitution. It comes by Jesus Christ. That's why the Founding Fathers said, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are what? Oh, created. I thought all men evolved. All men evolved equally. No, they didn't evolve equally according to Charlie Darwin, because Charlie Darwin says survival of the fittest in his. In other words, in his world view, no men are equal. You had to read the whole title of that book. It's a scary book. That's where racism actually came from the teachings of Charles Darwin, the survival of the fittest and the races. Something about the races, I don't know. Somebody can look it up on Google. Google that real quick. The way of the Spirit, they are the character traits of God. I should have put they are. They are the character traits of God. When we're talking about the new way of the Spirit, what we're talking about is God himself. When I read this and I think of this as a man especially, I think this can't work. In the worldly sense, I think, if I behave this way, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, I'll get eaten up. If I go out in the playground and I live like this, I'll come home with 5 black eyes. You know, because it's a dog-eat-dog world out there. And I've got to stand up for me, and I've got to fight. Fight, 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 right? And we live in that kind of a world. It does seem, especially in our current culture, that in order to get ahead in anything, you have to fight like crazy. But I'm here to tell you something, that this actually works better. And I'm going to try to explain it. When we're reading this, the fruit of the Holy Spirit of God, that means this is God. He is full of agape, self-sacrificing love. He is full of joy. He, God, is full of peace. You see God all fretting. I wonder what Jimmy's going to do. Oh, no. I mean, he's full of peace. He's full of patience. I'll give him 50 years. I finally figured it out. Wow, that took a long time. Some of you are older than that, and it's like, man, oh, man. 80 years, still hasn't learned, man. Maybe I better give him another 10. How many times can you hit your head against the wall before you realize that you've got to change your life? Patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. In my Friday night Bible study, I was joking around with one of the couples, and I was saying, oh, you're sitting apart from each other. There was a chair in between them. You must be fighting. They go, no, we gave up fighting a long time ago. It doesn't work. You know what? That's true. If you think that fighting in your marriage is going to get you ahead, I got news for you. It doesn't work. It doesn't work. Okay? You know what works? Getting along. Works really good. Getting along is better than not getting along, right? People always complain about the divorce rate. You know why it's big? People don't know how to get along. The fruit of the Spirit is how you get along. Let me cue you in, guys. You think that if you live like that, you'll run all over you. Somebody will just take advantage of you. I want to tell you this. God, the Almighty Creator God, who wields all power that is seen and unseen. He holds together a whole universe that he created out of his own power. He, the Almighty, all-powerful God, governs himself by this. He governs himself. Yeah, here's the origin of the species by means of natural selection on the preservation of favored races in the struggle for life. That's the title for Origin of Species. That's where racism came from. But the Founding Fathers say, we hold these truths to be self-evident. God created us. We didn't evolve, and we were created equal by this God. It doesn't mean that we're the same in talent and ability. It doesn't mean that at all. It means we're equal in value to God. A soul, a human soul, valuable to God, no matter if you're great, whatever that means, or small, whatever that means. Now, the fruit of the Spirit, God governs himself with this. When you look at the Almighty, all-powerful God, you don't see a God who is out of control. What if he didn't have self-control? What if he didn't have patience? What if he would grab planet Earth with his giant, mighty hand and hurl it through the universe if he lost his temper that way? What if he was like the Greek and Roman gods who always lost their tempers and were subject to passions just like humans? Nope, God controls himself. He's full of love, joy, peace. So I've got a question to you guys. If it works for God, do you think it can work for you? It works for God. He's been using this for forever, for eternity. God has been using this. It works. It functions. And I have found in my life that when I allow him to live this through me, my life is way better. Even when some crisis comes up in the family or in the church or somewhere else, I feel a sense of great peace with him because he's in control and I know he is. The way of the Spirit are the character traits of God himself. So I would encourage you, adopt them, live them out. You got to stick that on your refrigerator, put it in your brain, put it on your cell phone, you know, wallpaper. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. How can I be kind in this situation? How can I be gentle? How do I control my anger in this situation? When you do this, your life is going to be full of fruit. Right now, my peach tree out back is full of sap, and you can see it just ready to bloom out. When we get all these wonderful peaches, because it's full of fruit. Wouldn't you love to have the fruit of God in your life? Peace and kindness and patience. Isn't that sound better than anger and hate and puro caria? I'm sorry. There I go in tongues. There I go in tongues again. In Spanish. She's laughing. Because that was not a good thing to say, was it? I'm sorry. Where's all of the people say I'm an Italian American or I'm a Scotch Irish or I'm a hot blooded Hispanic and that's why I behave this way? No, you're just using that as an excuse. You know, all of us have the sin nature. You can find any cultural excuse you want. This is why I behave the way I do. It's because you're not yielding to Jesus. That's why. The way of the Spirit is lived through the cross. It starts here, and it always starts here. For Good Friday services, which I all want you to come through, I'm going to have a cross here, a big, huge wooden cross, and I'm going to ask you all to put your stuff on it, whatever that is. You'll see what I mean when you get here. Against such things, there is no law. Against what things? Against these things, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness. What does it mean, against such things there is no law? Do you remember when they arrested Jesus Christ and they brought him in front of the magistrates and the powers and the authorities and the courts and all of that? It says that they couldn't find anything to charge him with. Why? Because this is the way he was. How can you charge an individual who lives their life out like that? This person who is patient stops at the stop sign, lets the other person go by. This person who is full of self-control, even though the guy cuts him off, he doesn't go chasing him down. I'm going to get you. You know, if I had phasers on my... Phasers on stun. No, phasers on distract. If we had that in our, if we had a button like that in our cars, there'd be a lot of dead people out there. Matter of fact, it's starting to happen more. When I was in California, they started having drive-bys and people carrying guns and stuff. It gets scary out there, right? People start using their cars as weapons. Some of their wives are doing like this to their husbands. Your car isn't a weapon. It's a vehicle. It's to get you from point A to point B. Everybody's in my way. Have patience. You'll get there. Haven't you ever noticed that the guy that passes you at 90 miles an hour, you're driving along at the speed limit, you get there, and he's only there about 1 minute before you, or you come along and there he is. No law against living like this. When you live like this, your life will be way better. When you live in the flesh, you'll have all kinds of struggle. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sin nature with its passions and desires. Now, this is positional. That has happened with you concerning God. That's why he looks at you through the cross. But you as a Christian have a choice to make now. Will I live through this cross? Will I keep my sinful, bad temper, horrible person on the cross and live the new nature of God in my life? or will I let the old one crawl off the altar? Romans 12, present your bodies a living sacrifice. When you used to put a sacrifice at the altar, you'd put it up on the altar, you'd grab the knife and plunge it into the heart, right? It's dead. The sacrifice couldn't get off the altar. The scriptures say you're in unredeemed bodies, so you have to keep your bodies on the cross. You have to keep your body on the altar, because if you let your sin nature crawl off, it'll go do what it wants to do. That's why so many Christians have trouble, because they let their sin nature take them over again, and then they're back at it. They call it relapse in drug abuse and alcohol abuse, relapse. They go back, right? The way of the Spirit is in walking with God. Like I told you, what started me off on this journey, and I've taken you along with me, is the whole concept of Enoch. He walked with God, and Enoch was with no more because he walked so close to God that God said, come on up and be with me. I want to do this. I would like you all to have this kind of walk. It would be a powerful group of people if everybody, every one of you were walking with him day by day. It would be so amazing to have us seeing Christians behaving like Christians are supposed to behave. Instead, non-Christians look at Christians and they say they just behave like everybody else. Christians behaving badly, right? Kids should make a new reality show, Christians behaving badly. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. How many of you have been in marching band, you know, or you're in the military and you're out of step? You can hear it out of step, and then they say, skip step, get back in step with the Spirit. When you're walking with the Spirit, you can tell. You know. It sounds right. It feels right. When you're out of step with the Spirit, you know. When your own sin nature gets in the way, you know, because the Spirit of God doesn't walk with the flesh. The Spirit of God walks in obedience to Christ. So you need to walk with God. Walk with Him. Commit yourself to a walk with God. Why don't you? That so-called New Year's resolution should be a resolution for every Christian every day. Walk with Him. Listen to Him. Ask Him. How would you, when you read Jesus in the Gospels, you get up early in the morning and go pray. It was such a habit that the disciples eventually said, Lord, can you teach us how to pray? None of them were getting up early to go with Him to pray. So He gives them the Lord's Prayer. So, live by the Spirit, keep in step with the Spirit. Notice, the teaching about the Spirit is not a panacea. That is, it's not a pill that you take when you come to church and poof, the pastor lays his hands upon you and poof, you're a changed person. It's day by day. It's moment by moment. It's if you are led by the Spirit, if you live and walk in the Spirit, if you surrender yourself to the Spirit daily, moment by moment, not just at church, not just in front of a group of people to see you having some kind of an experience. That's the hijacking of the teaching of the Spirit. Because the teaching of the Holy Spirit is that He wants to give you fruit. He wants to live through you. He wants to bring to you the gentleness, the kindness, the mercy, the long-suffering, the self-control that you need to have. He wants that for you. This I can say with full confidence because Jesus said that. Now, let's read this together. Nicodemus, a member of the Jewish ruling council, came to Jesus at night and said, Rabbi, we know you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the miraculous signs you are doing if God were not with him. In reply, Jesus declared, I tell you the truth, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again. How can a man be born when he is old? Nicodemus asked. Surely he cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb to be born. Jesus answered, I tell you the truth, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of the water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying you must be born again. The wind blows whatever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit. Jesus taught it. He actually went on to rebuke this man because the man kept on questioning. And you know what Jesus told him? You're the teacher of Israel. You're one of the spiritual shepherds of Israel. And you don't know this? That every human being needs to have an experience with God? They need to be born again, like Margie said. Trust the Lord and you'll have a second one. A second what? A second birthday. When you were born again, when Jesus came into your life and you began to see the transformation that needs to happen in you. So there's a twofold group here. If you're one of those people who's never surrendered to Jesus Christ, it's time. I'm going to give you that opportunity now. And if you have accepted Jesus as Savior, but your life has been this, then there's another commitment that needs to be made. So let's pray. Bow your heads, close your eyes, and I do this for other people, not just for you, but for others. Even I am bowing my head and closing my eyes. I'm not looking. If you're out there and you need Jesus in your life, then you need to ask Him to cause you to be born again. And here's the sinner's prayer that all of us who are born again have asked. It goes like this. Dear Jesus, come into my heart. I receive you. I accept you. I repent of my sin. Cleanse me. Wash me. Thank you for dying on the cross for me. Come into me. Live in me. Fill me with your Spirit. Deliver me from the evil of this world and my sin nature. I accept you by faith. If you prayed that, if you're really serious about that, that's between you and Him ultimately. He knows and you will know. Now those of you Christians who have made that prayer so many times, but your life has been an up and down experience in your Christianity. You go home and you fight. You go to work and you fight. You are angry. You are depressed. You are whatever. You're full of lust and passion and impatience and all the things of the flesh. It's time for you to surrender that. Lord, forgive me for yielding to the flesh. Instead, fill me with your Spirit. Fill me with your fruits. I want your gentleness. I want your patience. I want your self-control. I'm tired of my ways. I give myself to your ways now. Deliver me from the evil that's around me and in me. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Fill me with his gifts. Fill me with his presence. Give me the grace to keep my old nature on the cross, to serve in the new way of the Spirit by crucifying my old ways and living in the new ones from now on. Help me, Lord, to quickly recognize when I'm off, when there's a thought, when there's a word, when there's an action, when there's a reaction. Spirit, open my heart, open my mind to be sensitive to you, so that I am not always offending you. For it says in the Scriptures, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God who is in you. If the Holy Spirit of God is in you and you are a Christian, don't you think it's time for you to stop making his job hard? Why don't you just yield to him now? In Jesus' name, amen.